What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you for another edition of Phillies Today. World Series starts on Friday. The Phils, not in it. Yeah, now, Phils not in the World Series coming up on Friday, but it is that time of year. It is the exciting time in baseball as we get ready for the Fall Classic. So the off-season October editions of this podcast, certainly not as fun as the last couple of years. Last year at this time, I believe the Phils were still playing in the National League Championship Series, where they'd eventually lose in seven, but we had baseball still to talk about. So until the season is all said and done, I don't want to get into any of my specific off-season stuff and predictions, and I'm going to do a perfect off-season, that type of podcast, coming up here really soon, but I kind of want everything to finish up here, especially considering the biggest fish on the market right now in Juan Soto is still playing at least for another week or so. So I also think what happens in this series could affect things in terms of where he ends up going this offseason and what ends up happening with Soto and the Yankees. So while we're on that topic, like, do you think that the Yankees winning or losing the World Series gives them a better chance to sign Juan Soto? It's a question that I've kind of asked myself as, you know, this World Series is coming up here. And after Juan Soto hit as dramatic a home run as you could possibly hit in Game 5 of the American League Championship Series to essentially send the Yankees, you know, to the Fall Classic here. Because I honestly think that if they end up winning the World Series, I think it probably leads to them maybe having less of a chance to retain Juan Soto. Because I think you're probably content with the year that you got. You did the job. You did what you brought him here to do. And, you know, Ken Rosenthal has been reporting that it seems like the highest bidder, which isn't a shock, will end up winning the Juan Soto sweepstakes. So if they get their World Series, maybe they can better explain moving on from Juan Soto to the fans. I don't know, as opposed to you lose and say, oh, we were right there and we need to keep Soto here to get us over the hump. But it really does leave me to believe just the Ken Rosenthal reporting and, you know, the success that Juan Soto has had this year, that he is certainly staying in New York. Whether it's as a Yankee or a Met, I don't know. It is just going to essentially come down to if Hal Steinbrenner and the Yankees front office is going to match whatever Steve Cohen's bid is at for the New York Mets, because it really feels like those are the two bidders. I know it's going to be that now that I mentioned it's a good segue into a question that a lot of Phillies fans have, and you know, a lot of probably the most pressing question that's on Phillies fans' mind as we get into the offseason here, and that's, do the Phillies have a real legitimate shot to land Juan Soto? And obviously John Middleton is the only one who can truly answer that right now, but I just don't see how it's feasible considering what you owe to Turner. But I will say this, after, you know, kind of taking a little bit of a deeper dive into just the payroll and how everything's going to work out over the next, you know, half decade plus, the only contracts that the Phillies currently have that they're on the hook for past 2026 is Zach Wheeler, who only ends a year later in 2027, Nola, Harper, Turner, and Chris Sanchez, which isn't much anyway. So if there's reason, I were to give you one reason as to why I feel like there is a chance that they could land Juan Soto, it would be because a lot of deals are coming off the books within the short term, within the next couple of years, aside from the guys that I just mentioned. So I also do think that if there were to be a third team in the sweepstakes, and there usually is, whether there's actual smoke around it or not, there usually is, just so the teams can be able to get leverage and so the agents can find ways to, you know, have the Yankees and have the Mets continue to rise the price tag for Soto. I do think the Phillies are that third team because I just don't know who else it would be. I don't think the Dodgers are looking to add another $600 million player after Ohtani and, you know, even the $325 million they gave to Yamamoto last offseason as well. The Cubs, maybe, but it just feels like Soto's an East Coast player. And what really big-time deal have the Cubs given out in recent memory? Dansby Swanson gets $177 mil a couple off-seasons ago, but that won't come anywhere close to what Soto's going to get. You're thinking at least you're going to start at $500 to $600 million. So I don't think they've given out a contract like that ever, and I don't expect to start, you know, them to start breaking the bank in terms of beating Steve Cohen, beating Hal Steinbrenner, beating John Middleton, and, you know, kind of the big dogs in terms of ownership here. And meanwhile, I bring up Dansby Swanson. Just totally random thought here. Dansby was part of the Trey Turner, Correa, Bogart shortstop class of a couple years ago. All of those guys have just not lived up to their contracts so far, which is, you know, pretty funny aside from the fact that you remember that there's 9 more years of Trey Turner here in Philadelphia who, you know, can't field the position anyway. And you've already had Bogarts move off of it. So it might be time to move Trey off it, guys. And yeah, so not expecting that considering what we heard from Dave Dombrowski last week. But yeah, that shortstop class has kind of been a flop so far. But Juan Soto, I would think, is not going to be a flop. And I don't know. Even if they don't get Soto, the Phillies do need to prioritize this offseason going after someone who profiles similarly to him, because I think that is what the modern game is kind of turning into in terms of just not necessarily playing small ball and, you know, trying to hit singles and getting on base when you can like that. It's more of just somebody working difficult at bats and being tough outs. You know, clearly, I think he is the best in the game at it right now, Juan Soto is. And you saw it on display at its best prior to that homer against the Guardians where he just keeps spoiling pitches. And he has a couple great takes. And that was kind of like the Bryce at-bat he had against Robert Suarez, too. And he hit Bedlam in the bank. And just those type of at-bats. And you see now with the two teams that are in the World Series that that's going to be the type of thing that gets these teams and gets these ball clubs over the hump. So there will be some guys out there who profile as that type of hitter. You look at the Dodgers right now, you know, Tommy Edman was a guy who they picked up at the deadline. And look, Tommy Edman's a fine player. He's a utility guy who isn't necessarily going to be hitting at the top of your lineup, but if he's in your 6-7 spot, and he's actually moved up in the Dodger lineup considering, you know, some of the injuries they've had and just kind of the top heaviness that they possess in that lineup, he's somebody who I feel like has just worked some phenomenal at-bats this postseason. You feel really confident with him going up there if you're a Dodger fan. There are guys like that who are going to be out there, whether it's via free agency or via trade, who have that profile, and that is what the Phillies really need to kind of prioritize and hone in on this offseason. And I think that Dave Dombrowski, I think that Sam Fold and the rest of the front office understand that, just considering that the Phillies have a lot of guys who are swing and miss, who are chase, whether they want to admit it or not. I think they're smart enough to know it in the back of their head. As much as Dave Dombrowski can go up there and say that, you know, the Phillies only had the 6th worst chase rate in the postseason, I think that they all watch that series and are smart enough baseball minds to understand that you need a different type of approach at the plate. So that's where I'm at with Soto. It's going to be really interesting to watch him over the next week and just see him on the highest level. We've seen it before when at 19 years old in the 2019 World Series, he's taken Verlander deep. The Soto shuffle kind of gets born during that series. So really excited to watch him at that level and just see if he can win another world title. So I'm going to get into some more World Series stuff in a little bit here, but there's some more things that I want to get into Phil's related before I do that. And for the second week in a row, and I've already kind of done it so far through the first few minutes of this podcast, I'm going to challenge and I'm going to critique Dave Dombrowski a little here. So before I do that, I want to play the sound from Ken Rosenthal, who on Fair Territory podcast talked about the Phil's offseason plans and specifically what he expects from Dave Dombrowski.
Perhaps an outfielder. That would be, in my estimation, the obvious move for them. But I wouldn't put anything past them. Could they trade Bohm? Could they trade Stott? Could they do something that kind of surprises us to shake it up a little bit? That would not shock me. Dave Dombrowski is a guy who does things. He does not sit still. He does not let the status quo simply linger. So yes, I believe the Phillies will do something big. I just don't know what it is.
So it's interesting, but I feel like it's a lot of the type of things that we heard last year after the Phillies got bounced in 7 games against the Diamondbacks. And it makes you kind of, I guess, not second guess, but I just feel like we've had this thing over the past couple of years where we know the lack of activity that there's been at the deadline with the two hitters you acquire over the last couple of years being Austin Hayes and Rodolfo Castro, guys who weren't really able to contribute for you whatsoever in the postseason. Obviously, Austin Hayes had the injury issues and then the kidney infection. And Rodolfo Castro is essentially a AAA player that you got rid of. Bailey Falter, who is maybe a step above a AAA player. So while I appreciate the baseball media community constantly telling me and telling all of us as Phillies fans how active they expect Dave Dombrowski to be and that he's made big moves like this in the past. I'm ready to see it for myself. I need to see Dave Dombrowski do something of note aside from spending John Middleton's money, because while you can say he brought Turner here or he extended Wheeler and Nola, he did make a couple of good moves. Like, I think the Jose Alvarado trade I mentioned last week is still a good move, even though he's kind of lost his 2022 form a little bit. I still think he's made some nice moves. I need to see more. And I'm waiting for the trade that nobody sees coming, like the Pat Gillick move of trading Bobby Abreu and saying, look, we understand and we know this guy is a really important individual to the team. We know this is a really good player here, but we have to shake something up because this group simply hasn't gotten to where we think that they can get to. And at that time, it's the postseason. And now it's the World Series. And I know people could then respond and say, well, you don't want to, you know, mess with the continuity of the clubhouse, considering that all these guys like each other and they've formed a connection over the past couple of years. But at some point, there needs to be a wake-up call. And whether it's getting some value for Boehm or whether it's even getting value for Bryson Stott, who I probably would not trade, but if they got value for him, they got something there, I wouldn't be opposed to that necessarily. This is how professional sports work. And sometimes you got to hurt some feelings in order to be great. And I think the Phillies probably need that one move just to shake things up a little and keep everybody on their toes. And it's not an insult to the team either. It's that you know they're right on the edge. And sometimes you need that little just to get over the top and be able to kind of regain that form that we saw them have 2 years ago, where, you know, they were one of the most exciting teams in the sport in the postseason. And they were able to kind of ride that energy into a National League pennant. So we'll see what ends up happening there. But Dave Dombrowski, if you're listening, go out, make it happen. I'm ready to see what you can do, because everyone has always talked about Dave Dombrowski making the move to put some of these teams over the top, with the Red Sox winning a World Series and with the Marlins winning a World Series. I'm ready to see him do that in Philadelphia. And I think he can, because he has that respect around baseball to where I think he can, you know, talk to these guys, talk to free agents. And obviously you can't talk to players who you haven't traded for yet, but it just seems like he kind of knows the inner workings of how this all goes down because he's done it so many times. He's been involved in baseball for so long. So hope that Dave Dombrowski can kind of prove everyone wrong here and put that press conference behind him last week, because, man, that really did get the morale down of a lot of fans, including myself. So hopefully we can kind of, you know, that can kind of get disproven as the offseason rolls along here and as we get towards next season. So other than that, not a ton of Phil stuff to discuss right now. You've got, I know, Justin Crawford doing some work this offseason, which is cool to see. But obviously the guy that everyone's talking about right now in terms of his Arizona Fall League and his appearances so far is Andrew Painter. And he is continuing to throw well, which is a great sign. As I'm recording this, I know he is actually pitching tonight, Thursday night. So we will see how he does there. But he has been good throughout his first two outings that he's had thus far out west, the Arizona Fall League. His last start was a really encouraging one. Again, he goes two strong innings, gave up just one run on two hits, a couple of strikeouts, no walks in there. He averaged around 97 on the fastball and touched 100 a couple times, which you love to see, mixed in the slider as well, which we project to, you know, be probably his main secondary pitch here. And he did throw 191 mile an hour changeup, so that was interesting. Hopefully that's something he can continue to work with, because you probably want that to come out a little less firm and maybe, you know, change speeds a little more there. But good to see him tinkering with it, that they're continuing to work on his different stuff and his mechanics as well. And when it comes to the plan next year for Painter, because this is kind of where I find the Andrew Painter talk to get interesting, is I think it'll be very intriguing to see what their approach is going into the year with Painter. Because in an ideal world, obviously, you'd love for him to start the season as the fifth starter, and you add him to a rotation that already is four guys who have had phenomenal, you know, last years or so. I know Ranger didn't have a great second half of the year, but you add him to Wheeler, Nola, Ranger, and Sanchez, and you feel really good about that. But at the same time, I do expect them to manage his workload here, especially after the Tommy John surgery. And I think he probably starts the year in the minors, and maybe they go out and they sign a fifth starter. But hey, Taijuan Walker, don't forget, heavy ball program this offseason. They're looking to get that velocity up. But now I expect them to go out and sign another starter to at least compete with Taiwan in camp here. Spencer Turnbull's a free agent, so we'll see if he comes back. But I expect him maybe to get a little more money elsewhere. But yeah, so he probably starts out in the minor leagues, in my opinion. And I think they probably bring him up somewhere around June and put him in the rotation, assuming all goes well and that he feels good health-wise. Then you kind of just monitor him throughout the year. And I'd be surprised if he ends up pitching over 110, 120 innings. And you just have to be able to get him healthy to the postseason and still win as many games as you possibly can in terms of getting a seed. And something that I've also seen that is somewhat interesting, but I don't expect to happen, is maybe you bring him up a little earlier if you really need it. If, you know, Taiwan's just an absolute disaster again in spring training and they don't sign a fifth starter for whatever reason, even though I think they will, and you bring him up earlier, I've seen some young guys come out of the bullpen at times, you know, for different teams. Nate Eovaldi is one that comes to mind for the Boston Red Sox when he was a really young guy. He comes up and pitches at a bullpen role in the postseason and was kind of integral in them winning that 2018 World Series. But guys have done it in the past, and we'll see. It's going to be fun. Everyone who's reported from the Arizona Fall League so far says he's looked awesome. So nothing but good stuff to say on that front. But he's going to be really exciting because I remember when he came up and pitched in one spring training game 2 years ago, it felt like everyone's eyes were glued to the TV. And for a team that hasn't had a ton of great pitching prospects, you had Nola, you had Cole. Besides that, you haven't really had a ton of phenomenal pitchers come up through the system. And the fact that he is pretty much the consensus number one pitching prospect in the sport right now, it's really exciting. And the velocity is still there after the surgery. It seems like the stuff is still there. So if Caleb Cotham can just continue to get him right and be able to kind of work with him and tinker on some mechanics and just improve, you know, what he's seeing out of him on a day-to-day, then I think that we're going to get a really exciting season next year out of Andrew Painter. And that could be one of the acquisitions, or I guess not an acquisition, but one of the additions that could help the Phillies get over the top next year. But you can't count on it. So you still have to be aggressive in free agency, in the trade market. And I fully expect or hope that the Phillies will be considering how the season just ended. So that's pretty much everything Phillies wise. It's, you know, tough to talk about the baseball team when after the exit press conferences and everything like that, it's pretty much quiet on the Phillies front. But I want to get into the World Series, and I want to talk a little Dodgers-Yankees as we get set for what should be an awesome series between two of the, you know, richest franchises and most historic franchises in sports. And all I got to say is it is just going to be so much better than last year. And obviously last year stung for a different reason, the fact that everyone knew that the Phillies were so much better than the Arizona Diamondbacks and didn't deserve to be in the World Series, but everyone wanted to see in the World Series. Those ratings were some of the worst that the World Series has ever seen. Just nobody wanted to see a D-backs-Rangers World Series last year. So much better this year. You've got stars from every corner of the globe between Shohei, which, by the way, I know the Yamamoto versus Yu Darvish start, two Japanese natives in the NLDS. I think that drew some of the best ratings for an MLB playoff game ever. So that's really cool. And you know, the, you know, Japan crowd will be locked into this series. So like I said, every corner of the world between Shohei and Japan, Judge probably being the best American player, Soto probably being the best Dominican player, global viewership will be off the charts. So that is awesome to see, because ultimately you just want these ratings to be good and just to continue to grow the game in that sense. And I think in terms of who wins the series, I don't know if I have a bet yet. I'm probably leaning Yankees. I just think a lot of it depends on the status of Freddie Freeman, and he's been playing on that hurt ankle for pretty much the entire postseason now. Hurt it in the NLDS in the series against the Padres, and I think a lot will depend on if he's healthy or not. He did not play in the clinching game six against the Mets a little less than a week ago, and I do think the Yankees also have the edge in terms of the starting pitching. Their rotation, I guess, will be Cole, Rodon, Schmidt, and Luis Gil, I'd assume. I know Nestor Cortez is going to be available in this series. They're going to have him probably pitching out of the bullpen, which is actually pretty interesting. And we'll see if Marcus Stroman is active as well, because he's kind of struggled in the second half of the year, kind of similar to how Ranger did, just kind of losing some stuff there and maybe some dead arm. But He could be a weapon out of the bullpen. And the Dodgers really only have two reliable starters in Flaherty, who didn't look great in his last outing against the Mets and didn't last very long. And his stuff seems to be kind of dying down as well. His fastball is sitting at like 90, 91. So a lot of these guys are just tiring, as you know, they've pitched since March now, which is just insane. The fact that the season's already coming to an end. I feel like we were at spring training just, you know, barely a month ago, but now it's been, I guess, over 8 months, so pretty crazy. But yeah, he wasn't great in his last start, but you only have him and you have Yamamoto as guys who you can kind of rely on. So we'll see if their bullpen can keep up that high wire act that they did kind of in between the Padres and the Mets series. They pitched, what, like 17 scoreless straight innings, which is pretty wild. But the lineup-wise, both of these teams are pretty exciting. Again, a lot will depend on Freeman. The Yankees have kind of pieced it together. Anthony Rizzo, who had been terrible all season, has turned into a really, you know, good postseason hitter for them. And, of course, you can't talk about the Yankees right now unless you bring up Giancarlo Stanton, who everyone is now bringing up his Hall of Fame case and how if he gets to 500, is he an absolute lock to get into the Hall of Fame? Giancarlo Stanton has had a really disappointing Yankees tenure, and I guess he can kind of erase all that now if he continues to play the way he has in the postseason. I mean, he won ALCS MVP, but he's just been so mediocre for, what is it, at least 5 years now, and I would just be, I don't know, he doesn't feel like a Hall of Famer to me, and I know he might reach 500. I think he's sitting around 430 home runs right now, but I don't know if he is a Hall of Famer because it just doesn't feel like he's had a long enough peak to where he could be, you know, in that class of some of those guys who make it to the Hall of Fame. But so both lineups are very interesting, and the Yankees have kind of just had a bunch of these guys, you know, play as well as they played all year, which, you know, great timing for them. It just seems like the Phillies is the opposite way around. They're playing well in April and May. But yeah, no, so good for the Yankees there. And the Dodgers lineup, although it's been top heavy, some of their big acquisitions over the offseason and at the trade deadline have, you know, panned out well for him. I know Teoscar hasn't hit really well over the past, what, series and a half, but I do expect him to have a good World Series, especially given the left-handed pitching that the Yankees like to use there. And I'm sure if Freddie Freeman ends up playing between Ohtani and him, there will be a lot of opportunities against lefties, and he's typically hit them pretty well. Tommy Edman, who I mentioned earlier, has really come on. Kike Hernandez is like an October legend at this point. It feels like he comes on every October and just performs well. So it's going to be an exciting series. And if I had to pick right now, I'd probably say Yankees in seven. But would I be shocked if the Dodgers won this series and if their lineup just totally took over and Shohei looked great? I would not. Maybe we see Shohei pitching. I don't know. Would be pretty cool. But yeah, not expecting that either. But we'll see. Yeah, so that's going to wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. I'm thinking next week or the following week, I'm going to do kind of my off-season predictions pod and kind of give you my free agents and trade targets who I think Dave Dombrowski and Sam Fultz should go after. So with that, for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstern. Have a good one, everybody. See you.